You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now, last week, there were some reports that came out that the Mets could approach Brandon Nimmo about a contract extension this offseason. So on today's show, we're going to explore that. In the first segment, I want to compare Brandon Nimmo to a player that just signed a contract extension that is very similar to Nimmo, and that is Byron Buxton. Two guys who've been very injured throughout their careers, but when they play, have been elite performers. So what did Buxton get? How can we compare these two? In the second segment, I'll dive deep into Buxton's contract, as well as the contracts the Mets just gave out to two other outfielders in Mark Canha and Starling Marte, find a range that Brandon Nimmo could be looking for here. And then in the last segment, I'll dive into the particulars. What contract would I offer Brandon Nimmo today? And is that worth it for the New York Mets moving forward? Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at Just Baseball. All right, so first things first, let's get into the similarities between Byron Buxton and Brandon Nimmo. You have the obvious one. They both play center field, and they've both been injured a ton. Also, though, these are players that were supposed to hit free agency at the same time. Byron Buxton just signed his contract extension, but he previously would have been a free agent after the 2022 season. Brandon Nimmo in that exact same position. The Mets only have one last year of control on Brandon Nimmo before he becomes a free agent. Both of these players were born in 1993, although Brandon Nimmo is 9 months older. They've both only played 100 games in a season once in their entire careers. And for each of them, that career high is exactly at 140 games played. Other than that, neither of them has played 100 games in another season throughout their major league career. For Buxton, it was also his third season played in 2017, whereas with Brandon Nimmo, the 140-game season came in 2018, but that was also Nimmo's third season at the big league level. You look at their career F-WAR. Brandon Nimmo, 12.3. Byron Buxton, 12.9. Nimmo's played 457 games over six seasons. Byron Buxton, 493 over seven. So even though we're splitting hairs, Nimmo's slightly more durable, very slightly, but still. When it comes to the differences, I mean, Byron Buxton has a higher ceiling. That's obvious. And that's why he got these crazy incentives in his contract tied to MVP place finishing, because that allows him to make what he's worth when he's healthy, if he's healthy. Brandon Nimmo is not going to win an MVP. I think that would be very shocking if he were to win an MVP or even finish in the top 10. But his floor, in a lot of respects, is higher than Byron Buxton because he gets on base all the time. And offensively, he's simply been a better player than Byron Buxton. Now, the 2021 season, Byron Buxton was on pace to win an MVP if he had stayed healthy. I mean, the Shohei Ohtani element, maybe he wouldn't have won one, but an MVP caliber season had he stayed on the field. Again, that ceiling higher than Nimmo's, but the fact that Brandon Nimmo has found a way to continue to put up good offensive numbers every season that he's healthy, that's different than Buxton. Buxton has not always been an above average offensive contributor. That came over the last three seasons. Really, prior to that, it was just value based on defense, and that is certainly a huge edge that Buxton has over Brandon Nimmo. Byron Buxton could be the best defensive player in baseball. Brandon Nimmo has turned himself into, granted, an above average center fielder, which we never really thought he would get to that point, but he's not drawing that same level of value from the defense. But if you go throughout their careers and you dive into that higher ceiling that Buxton has, this past year, he posted a 169 WRC plus. Now that is weighted runs created plus, measuring hitters based on a league average of 100. So he was 69% better than your league average hitter. His slugging percentage of 647 is just ridiculous. He had 19 home runs in 61 games played. You go to Brandon Nimmo's stats, though, and it's been more consistent. He has never posted a season outside of his rookie year below a 115 WRC plus every single year, even 2019, where he had a terrible start to the year, had that neck injury that he was playing through, came back and was great down the stretch. He finished that year with a WRC plus over 115. So to do that every season, that shows you that Brandon Nimmo, if on the field, is going to be baseline above average offensively and at times outstanding offensively. His on-base percentage is obviously where Nimmo draws the most part of his value, but you see what he's done, and it's truly spectacular throughout his career, the way this guy has found a way every season to get on base. Each year, on-base percentage over 375. He has three seasons already on his career with an on-base percentage over 400. You look at their career slash lines, Brandon Nimmo, a 266 career hitter, Byron Buxton, 248. Brandon Nimmo, career on-base percentage of 393, Byron Buxton, 299. You look at the slugging percentage, 445 for Nimmo, 461 for Buxton. WRC plus for their careers, Brandon Nimmo, 134, Byron Buxton, 99. The defense, Byron Buxton has been worth 57 outs above average in center field since 2016. Brandon Nimmo has been worth 9 outs above average. Now in 2021, Nimmo is worth 4 outs above average. Buxton was worth 7 outs above average in 25 less attempts. Obviously, the defense skews heavily towards Buxton. But the idea of this is that these two players and their impending free agency situations are very similar. You have teams who would love to keep the player, but have to factor against the injury risk for players that just have not been able to stay on the field throughout their careers. You have the player that probably wants that long-term security due to their own injury history, but has to be concerned about signing a deal now instead of waiting till free agency where they might be able to get more surplus value on their next contract. And that is where it gets into structuring. That is why the Twins went with this incredibly unique structure where they gave Byron Buxton immense incentives tied to where he would finish in the MVP voting based on the assumption that if Buxton's on the field, he's going to be a top 10 finisher in the MVP vote. With Brandon Nimmo, I don't think you can structure a contract the same way, but I think what you can draw from the Buxton contract is the base salary of something in the neighborhood of $15 million. And then the question is, how do you structure everything around it that makes Brandon Nimmo sign on the dotted line? Also, how many years do you give Brandon Nimmo? Because Byron Buxton got 7 years. Do you want to be tied to Brandon Nimmo for the next 7 seasons? That is a very interesting question to discuss as well. But what we're going to do in the next segment is dive deeper into Byron Buxton's contract. Also talk about Mark Canha and Starling Marte's contracts and how that can get us to a range that makes sense for Nimmo as we explore what his next contract could look like. BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as the football season continues to march towards the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit just by using the promo code LOCKEDON. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the other good stuff you're missing? Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, so let's dive into Byron Buxton's new contract. He got a 7-year, $100 million deal. Now, that includes the year he was still owed, the 2022 season where he was under team control. Through his final year of arbitration, he was likely to make close to the $9 million he's now locked into for his base salary. He gets $1 million signing bonus, and then he gets 6 years, $90 million for his first 6 years of free agency. For Brandon Nimmo, that's an interesting contract right there, the 6 for 90 aspect of this. And that's what we're probably going to focus in on. But to dive deeper into what Byron Buxton's making after this season, it's $15 million a year, and then he gets that breakdown of the signing bonus over the length of the contract. Now, the incentives are the most interesting aspects of this contract because we've never seen this before. If he wins an MVP, Byron Buxton gets $8 million in incentives from the Minnesota Twins. But that's not all. If he finishes second, he gets $7 million. If he finishes third, he gets $6 million. If he finishes fourth, he gets $5 million. And if he finishes fifth, he gets $4 million. Then if he's just in the top 10, 6 through 10, he gets $3 million in incentives, which is essentially betting on the fact that if he's healthy, he's betting on himself to be in the top 10. So if you're in the top 10 of MVP voting, that $15 million base salary jumps up to at least 18. If you win the MVP, suddenly that $15 million base is $23 million, a lot more in line with what somebody of his caliber should be making, not to mention the plate appearance incentives. And this is where you want to pay really close attention as a Mets fan when thinking about Brandon Nimmo's next contract. So at 502 plate appearances, 533, 567, 600, and 625, at each of those milestones, he gets 500K. So if he were to be healthy for a full season, Byron Buxton will get 625 plate appearances as the leadoff hitter for the Twins, similar to the Mets with Nimmo, and he should be able to make an extra $2.5 million. So even if he plays terrible, you're talking about a healthy season getting $17.5 million when you tack his base with that incentive package. And then he also has a full trade or full no trade clause, and that goes through the 2026 season, then 2027, 2028. It's a five-team trade list. So at the end of that deal, the Twins a little bit more free to trade him, maybe get him off the books potentially down the road. Obviously, when you're talking about both of these players, you are trying to counteract the risk that you're assuming by signing them to long-term deals. And that is something that you have to think about very strongly right now when it comes to Brandon Nimmo. He has not proven that he can stay on the field. Now, with that, you can get a player that, if healthy the whole time and producing at that 134 WRC plus, a player of his caliber hitting free agency at his age, is going to get a deal much greater than $15 million a year. But because of that injury risk, you're both meeting in the middle here where, yes, I'm giving up years to Brandon Nimmo, but I'm getting him at a rate that is going to be a value contract if he's healthy. So it's a gamble on Brandon Nimmo long-term. And the one thing I'll say about Brandon Nimmo, you know, these injuries have been different every year. Sometimes it's the neck, sometimes it's a hamstring. There's been back issues, there've been hand issues. There's been so many different things. And you wonder, is that just bad luck? Is Brandon Nimmo going to be far healthier age 29 through 35 than he was 23 through 28? It's really hard to have any idea what that's going to look like moving forward. But what I do know is Brandon Nimmo is a really good player. So if you can lock him into a contract and you only have Starlin Marte on the books for 4 years, Mark Canha for 2 years. So theoretically, as you're looking at a Mets farm system that doesn't have any elite outfield prospects, keeping Brandon Nimmo around is something that should be enticing. The matter is, how much money is he going to make? And if you compare what Nimmo could make to what Mark Canha and Starlin Marte just made, I think that's another layer in trying to establish what a fair price range is for him. So if you look at what Starlin Marte just got, Marte, a closer comp to what Brandon Nimmo can be at his best, although he's coming off a season better than anything Nimmo's ever produced. So with that said, Starlin Marte will establish a ceiling for what Brandon Nimmo could expect on an average annual basis, although he is 3 years older than Brandon Nimmo would be as a free agent. But with that said, the AAV on his four-year contract with the Mets, which came out to $78 million, was $19.5 million. So you look at that and what Nimmo could make, and again, I established that as a ceiling for what he should be expecting on the average annual basis. And maybe that is the ceiling that you're going to try to meet with incentives as you structure a contract. So if the base is at 15, how do you get incentives structured in there so that if Nimmo has a great, healthy season, he can get closer to making $20 million a year? That is the question. Now you look at Mark Canha, that establishes a floor. Brandon Nimmo, a better player than Mark Canha, but both have similar on-base profiles. Nimmo's better than Canha, but that is where they're drawing most of their value. Mark Canha just got a two-year deal where the base salary is 22.5. There's a $2 million signing bonus and a $2 million club option or $2 million buyout on a club option for a third season. So altogether, $26.5 million guaranteed over 2 years to Mark Canha. That breaks down to $13.25 million. That I look at as a floor. And that's where we get back to the Byron Buxton $15 million base being an interesting starting point for Brandon Nimmo's next contract. Now, added in on Mark Canha's contract are the incentives. I had not seen these before or talked about them on this show, so I do want to share them because they made me laugh a little bit. So $50,000 for all-star appearance, for a gold glove or a silver slugger. It's fine. MVP. I find it funny that there's MVP incentives on Mark Canha's deal. I don't know why. To me, I just don't foresee it. I like that it's in there. He deserves any incentive if he puts together the most improbable MVP season in MLB history. But it does crack me up that if Byron Buxton finishes 10th, he gets $3 million, which is a likely scenario. Whereas if Mark Canha pulls off, again, the most improbable run to an MVP in MLB history, he only gets 50K. He also gets, hey, if he finishes 25K for second place and 10,000 for third place. I would give Mark Canha $10,000 for finishing 10th place. If he's a 10th place finisher in the MVP voting this year, man, the Mets probably had a great season, right? He also has incentives tied to the LCS MVP and the World Series MVP. So those, I would say, a little more attainable for Mark Canha. If he's playing on a good team and has a good series, he could get $50,000 for being the LCS MVP or $100,000 for being the World Series MVP. But all of these things can play into Brandon Nimmo's next contract. He can get incentives for winning a silver slugger, winning a gold glove, being an all-star, plate appearances, World Series MVP, LCS MVP, all of these things that can incentivize him to sign now and get that long-term money. That's what this comes down to for Brandon Nimmo. Do you want a long-term secured contract? Because you just saw Michael Conforto in a contract year cost himself a lot of money. And now, who knows how long of a deal he's going to get? He might be signing a three-year deal with an opt-out after year one to reset his value and try free agency again. At times, we forget when we're talking about Wander Franco signing a contract that some perceive to be below the market value he could get if he were to just play it out. We forget the guaranteed money element to these contracts. And if Brandon Nimmo can sign a contract tomorrow that guarantees him close to $100 million, why wouldn't he consider signing it? And that's what I'm going to talk about now. Let's dive into what Brandon Nimmo is going to make on this next contract. So the more I have thought about this and looked over the numbers of other contracts and Brandon Nimmo's production, what makes sense to me is the six-year deal for $90 million. Now, that would include this year that he's already under team control, where right now he's projected to make $6 million, according to Spotrac, in his final year of arbitration. Now, you can give him a little bit more in this first year. That's one incentive to sign now. But really, I think that you'd be talking about maybe $10 million for this season. So let's just say instead of giving him six as his base, you give him eight and you give him a $2 million signing bonus, right? Now he gets $10 million right now or in year one. And then for his free agent years, you're talking about $80 million over those five seasons. That breaks down to $16 million a year in average annual value. Now, with that said, I think the plate appearance incentives are key for Brandon Nimmo here. And you can basically adopt the structure that Byron Buxton has, where it's 500K each after 502 plate appearances, 533, 567, 600, and 625. You can even tack on one more at 450 give him a little bit more because he's not going to get those MVP incentives to look forward to. So, hey, maybe you do it that way where he has six milestones he could reach, and that could get him an extra $3 million a year over these years of his deal. So if he's healthy, that $15 million base becomes $18 million, which is fair for Brandon Nimmo because he's going to get on base at a 400 clip and be a solid contributor at the top of your lineup. Now, with that said, there's also other incentives you could throw in to get him to sign on the dotted line. $1 million for a silver slugger, a gold glove, or an all-star appearance. The all-star being the most likely thing he could attain. But any of that, if you get one of those seasons from Brandon Nimmo, he's going to be providing way more value than the contract you're giving him anyway. And for an owner like Steve Cohen, why not hammer him with those type of incentives to get him to sign a more team-friendly contract? You could throw in incentives, let's just say $500K for NLCS MVP, World Series MVP. Again, that is a really attractive incentive for a player like Brandon Nimmo that wants to be part of the Mets and expects the Mets to be contenders. And so all of these things can come together where a player like Brandon Nimmo can be incentivized to sign a deal now, take his security instead of trying to play out this final year. Because look, there is a chance that, you know what, Brandon Nimmo believes in himself, believes he's going to be healthy. He can go out, play a full season, put up a 5 or a 6 war, be healthy, hit free agency next year going into his age 30 season and get a massive contract in free agency. I mean, there really is. I don't think that the casual Mets fan understands how good this guy is. You see Brandon Nimmo, okay, you know, nice leadoff hitter, gets on base, you know, sprints out his walks. That's always fun. Is decent out in the outfield, but this guy's been one of the best players in baseball since 2017. It's ridiculous if you look at his numbers. His 136 WRC plus since 2017 is the 19th best mark among all hitters in baseball. That's tied with Pete Alonso, Paul Goldschmidt, and Jose Altuve. Okay. And again, that is measuring hitters based on a league average of 100. He has been 36% better than your league average hitter since 2017. He's been the 11th best outfielder in baseball based on that metric. You look at his walk percentage, 15.2%, tied for the 7th best mark in baseball. But you get to the on-base percentage, and he is, I had it in front of me before, he is 6th, excuse me for having to look that up there, 6th behind Freddie Freeman, Joey Votto, Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, and Mike Trout since 2017 with a 395 on-base percentage. Elite on-base threat. And that's what you'd be paying for. And again, under a contract where he'd only be making $15 million as his base salary, that is something you will pay a premium for if you're signing that player in free agency. We just saw the Mets give out contracts to Mark Canna and Starling Marte that are in this price range. So the real question here is, how concerned are you about his injury history to give him a 6-year deal? And if he wants 7 and he wants to get to that Buxton contract, what are you thinking about there? I think that the longer the contract is, the less, you know, or the lower that average annual value is going to be. But it's definitely interesting. And if Brandon Nimmo wants to bet on himself, you know, maybe he's going to try to fight for an opt-out in that contract. And maybe it is a contract where he gets an opt-out after his first 3 free agent years. So you're getting him for 4 years after his age 32 season, when he's the same age as Mark Canna and Starling Marte just were. He can hit free agency again and try to get the Marte contract from somebody else. But if you're the New York Mets and you're trying to plan out your 2023 roster, if you want Brandon Nimmo on that team, not this year, for next year, and then beyond that, this is the time to pursue a contract extension. The time is now before he puts up a huge season and can test free agent waters. Or maybe, look, if you can evaluate your own players and you're really not bought in on Brandon Nimmo, despite the clear track record throughout his career of every time he's on the field, he's producing. If you don't believe in that, well, then you're going to move on from him anyway. And you can just as easily not explore that contract extension. You can give him a qualifying offer after next season and move on without him following 2022. But based on the reported interest the Mets have, this is the type of contract that I think could get done that's realistic. A 6-year, $90 million deal with incentives tied to plate appearances and award finishes that keep Brandon Nimmo in a Mets uniform for not only this season, but his next five free agent years, carry him through his age 34 season. I think that could work out for both sides. And I'll be interested to see once the new CBA is, you know, in place, if those talks happen and what that range ultimately ends up being for Brandon Nimmo's next contract. We will see. But for today, that is all for Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Locked On Bets is the place to go for your daily gambling needs. You can find Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts.